When you have a doctor's appointment these days, you're getting asked a lot of questions about your life. What do you eat? Do you exercise? Do you use drugs? How much do you drink? Do you feel safe at home? All of this is part of an effort to understand how things other than our blood pressure or cholesterol levels impact our health. But the big question is, if the answers paint an unhealthy picture, let's say a patient eats a lot of fast food, lives in a violent neighborhood, or sleeps every night in a moldy apartment, then what? In recent years, public health experts have turned their focus to fixes, big and small, that attempt to change these very conditions, creating green spaces for relaxation and exercise or bringing grocery stores to areas in need. Our reporter Tanya English has covered these trends in public health for years. Wonks call this social determinants of health. And for this story, she looked into the connection between health and wealth.
819.
Okay.
95.
Okay.
77.
Vanessa Moore is sitting with her financial coach, going over her monthly budget. There's rent, the cell phone, her 15-year-old needs back-to-school supplies. Plus, Moore just finished breast cancer treatment, so she has lots of medical bills.
Now, was it short before cancer?
No, I had hair down to my shoulders before chemotherapy. I was like, I'm not cutting my hair.
She wears a short afro now, and even that small expense has to be written down.
My son's like, Ma, you need a shape up. So I had to go to the barber, and that was $10.
Moore is learning to balance income and spending in a financial empowerment program called Stand By Me. The state of Delaware pays for the coaching, and trainer Maria Luna Medina teaches clients to watch every dime.
And according to the calculation, there's 193 left.
Oh.
Now, do you feel like you have that money extra or?
No.
No. Okay. Where do you think this may be going?
I don't know.
In real life, Moore's bank account is overdrawn. She feels the pressure and she's really worried about her son.
He deals with this situation the best he can. He grew out of a pair of sneakers and at the end of the school year. And instead of stressing me out about the sneakers, he took the insoles out of his sneakers. And he's been wearing them all summer. But it's what you get when you have bad credit, low income.
First, there was a costly divorce. After that, Moore missed lots of work because of depression and back pain. And eventually, she lost her job. Then Moore was diagnosed with cancer. She lives on a Social Security disability check now. But when money's tight and the rent is due, Moore sometimes takes out a payday loan to make it to the end of the month. Financial coach Maria Luna Medina says that's a common and costly trap.
You know, part of her goal here with Vanessa is that she is able to control her money rather than her budget controlling what she's able to do.
Money management training is supposed to help launch poor people toward financial stability. And in Delaware, officials say they've come to realize that money problems can hurt health. Vanessa Moore says she had that same thought last year when she discovered a lump in her breast.
I don't know where it came from, but I know I've been under a lot of stress the last 6 years.
Public health professionals often use the analogy of dying fish in a river to explain the connections between poverty and health.
Your intervention might be to clean up the water in the immediate vicinity of where the fish are dying.
That's Jason Purnell, a health disparities professor at Washington University in St. Louis. He says a better strategy is to find out where the pollution starts. To help a community of unhealthy people, you have to consider the neighborhood influences, social policies, and other upstream problems that poison health. Segregation is one example. Denying home loans based on race isn't legal, but Purnell says discriminatory lending practices happen a lot.
The Justice Department announced today that Wells Fargo has agreed to pay $175 million to settle accusations of unfair and discriminatory lending practices to African Americans and Hispanics.
Low-income people often use home ownership to move out of poverty. But Justice Department investigations have shown that it's still harder for equally qualified African Americans and Hispanics to get a mortgage. That leaves whole groups cut off from wealth building and stuck in neighborhoods that are less likely to have nutritious food or safe parks where kids can play. Purnell says the consequences reach into the next generation.
There's something about the insult of poverty and stress to the developing child that is lingering and permanent.
To cope, stressed out people often use unhealthy habits, like smoking, overeating, or watching too much TV. Purnell says financial health is public health, but he and other believers are still trying to educate the public and convince lawmakers.
Really take the conversation beyond this notion of medical care and personal responsibility.
So far, there's not a lot of proof that you can treat conditions of poverty to save healthcare dollars, but it's become a popular theory. On the West Coast, the California Endowment is a big investor. And in New Jersey, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation spends millions trying to design healthier neighborhoods. One recent study found huge differences in how long people live when they're born just a few miles apart. A child born in prosperous Princeton, New Jersey, can expect to live to age 87. In Trenton, New Jersey, where there's lots of poverty, the life expectancy is 71. Sarah Zanton is a professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. She says you can't move everyone to Princeton, New Jersey.
But we are finding we can do things around the edges. What is it about Princeton that is movable to Trenton?
Zanton is a researcher and a nurse. She says little things pile up over a lifetime, and she wants to tease out which things matter most to health.
We're just starting to understand the factors and to understand what's fixable.
And some of those public health findings have already been translated into real-world policy. In Maryland, state lawmakers boosted the amount of nutritional assistance available for older adults. And that was not too long after Zanton's team at Hopkins discovered that low-income seniors who get food stamps are less likely to end up in the hospital or a nursing home.
A lot of people have good ideas that never get implemented, never get put into action. And that's because there's no measurement about how much it costs and how much it saves.
That's Sarah Zanton's latest investigation. She's trying to figure out if some of those fixes pay off. She leads a project called Capable that sends a nurse and an occupational therapist into older people's homes to see how seniors are living. And a handyman goes along to do home repairs.
People get very excited about doorbells. In many cases, the doorbell they've got doesn't work or was taken out at some point. If an ambulance needs to come, then it's nice having a doorbell.
Gary Feltzer is the handyman, and he does similar work for the city of Baltimore.
Today, we've got three grab bars to install, a raised toilet seat, and we've got a bath mat and a fire extinguisher.
All kinds of stuff going in.
That's Christine. She has a straight back, amazing posture, and at age 88, not much seems to bother her. Even in the middle of a Baltimore summer with no air conditioning, she seems cool, and her snowy white hair is pinned in a neat bun. But she does worry about identity theft and senior scams, so we're just using her first name. Christine lives in the same 1920s bungalow where she and her husband raised six kids. But these days, it's harder to keep up with small repairs. Earlier this year, she almost slipped in the bathtub.
Okay, make it nice and easy for you to get in or out.
Christine is also getting new lights and a second banister in her cellar basement, so she can hold on as she walks down the steep wooden stairs.
Cut what I need for that, and then I get a piece of rail and get this thing happening.
More than 400 seniors have gotten similar help at home through the Capable program. Participants said they're better able to cook meals and get dressed in the morning. And after working with a nurse and the therapist, their strength and balance is better. Many said their depression lifted. The four-month program, including home repairs, cost about $3,000 per person. In Maryland, the average hospitalization cost is $15,000. At Christine's bungalow, when the handyman's done with his work, the house is a little safer, and so is Christine as she heads down those wooden steps to do laundry.
It keeps you young, moving around.
I don't know about that.
Younger, how's that?
I don't know about that either. Let me say, it keeps me on the move.
Okay, well, that's good.
Tanya English reported this story.